open a cold one, kick back, and enjoy a week's worth of conversation from pop culture, sports, breaking news, and everything in between. Welcome to the Pine Room Podcast. At the beginning of the podcast each week, everyone on the show rolls a 20-sided die. The person who rolls the lowest number then becomes the moderator for that week's show, and it's their job to move the conversation along and switch from various topics or questions that can be found on the moderator's cheat sheet or custom ones they've brought in themselves. If you have a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us an email to contact@thepineroompodcast.com. Well, that's enough of that. Let's get into the show. You're listening to the Pine Room Podcast.
There we go. All right, perfect. All right, welcome in Pine Room Podcast, episode 121. You got the four old guys here with you. As Coach just said, it's hard to imagine we're already at 121. It seems like we just turned to triple figures not that long ago, and we're already pushing towards fall and football season. So Jeff here, along with myself and Chris and Coach, for an exciting powwow here. First of all, let's congratulate Jeff on a wonderful Legion Post One West Virginia State Championship and a great performance at the regional. So, Jeff, welcome back, and congrats to you and Luke on a job well done.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's good to see everybody. I feel like a virgin all over again on this podcast because I haven't been here in a hot minute. But appreciate that, Matt. It was a really fun ride. Good way, I guess, to close out selfishly for your son's baseball career to go win a state championship. So that is obviously great. And some travel, a lot of wear and tear on the car, that's for goddamn sure.
Yes.
But ate some good food, tried to kill my liver a little bit, and watched some good baseball. So it was good. But there was a couple things I wanted to talk about that, but we can.
Now, we'll hit on it.
He and Jarrett and Jubb can show off the rings.
You know what?
I was gonna say, that aspect
is pretty cool, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Another championship.
Yeah, really cool.
Avenue.
Yeah, without it. Actually, that's a good point, too, to Clearview Avenue.
The Legion hotbed up there.
It's a good feeling. We were there three times, fortunately, and it's something that Luke and you will remember for a long time, and Luke's name will be up on the board the 2024 along with R3. State championship, so it's pretty cool.
It is cool, and I tell you what, we obviously didn't end it the way that we would like to have ended it, but at the end of the day, I started doing some investigation. So there's 3,500 Legion teams in the country, 64 make it to the tournament.
Yep.
By the time Saturday comes around in the eight regions, that means there's 32 teams left. So the way you look at
pretty
it,
cool
top,
stuff.
Top 32 out of 3,500. It's small town Wheeling, West Virginia. That's not a bad gig.
No, not at all. Well, good way to end for Luke. I'm really happy that he got a state championship because he worked hard and he got a win in his last appearance.
Yeah, thank God, because he did suck in the state championship.
Yeah. Well, that happens.
And, everybody has off days.
Jubb can relate to that. I'll tell you, Luke reminded me a lot of Jubb. Could be very, very, very good at times, but very, very bad at times. Like, just totally, like, lose it. Like, just go, you know, sideways. And, you just can't explain it. And he was a lot like Jubb. Not a lot of velocity, sort of a tricky kind of guy. Good move to first base. Three or four or five strikeouts a game. But as Jubb would tell you, control sometimes was his worst enemy.
You know what the funny part about that? He was very blessed throughout his, like, he definitely had a lot of those issues, probably junior high, maybe like freshman year. That really kind of subsided a lot. So, like, he hasn't had, like, those shitty games. He just chose a really, really bad time.
Yeah. Sort of the same way Jubb was. He went through a stretch where he was struggling, and then he had a really good run, and then he had hit in Florida. He got our win down there. He threw a no-hitter, and he had a good career, but sometimes he just went into a funk like Luke did. It's hard to explain.
It's crazy. And I tell you what, man, anybody that listens that is a parent of a pitcher.
It's awful.
It's one of the coolest things in the whole entire world, but a fucking miserable ride at times as well.
And here's the thing, Jeff, and we'll move on here in a minute because I don't want to hog the mic here, but it's not only during the game. When you know he's pitching, and especially in a big game, if it's just a run-of-the-mill regular season game, you're fine. Not fine, but you're better. But when it's a big game, you're a mess for days.
I'm leading up to it.
You're a mess.
It's legit, and you think you're the one that's going to be on the bump. Fuck, all I got to do is watch.
Yeah, but
that's probably worse.
That is worse.
Oh, and every pitch, you're just every pitch, please.
And we're not that far removed from, I mean, I don't want to say smoking has ever been socially acceptable, but in his younger years, I was hotboxing cigarettes. It truly was like when you'd be able to be in parks and stuff like that where you could still smoke, and I'd be fucking one after another smoking cigarettes, looking like a total idiot. I guarantee the rest of the crowd could be like, I guarantee he's the pitcher's dad.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
They immediately know it, huh?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, Jeff, he seems so even-keeled. So when he did have the rare bad occasion in a big game, like in the state, how did he handle it?
Pissed. Just flat out. You are right. He's a cool, calm, and collective kind of cat. He doesn't usually let anything bother him. His biggest problem was he just didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he couldn't say.
Couldn't pinpoint what was going wrong. Yeah.
And it was just one of those things. So if I was going to say one thing, he came off just fucking pissed, which I respect because that's they had there was a reason why he was pitching when he was pitching. And to let. Obviously, I don't want to say let down, but let down, it wasn't the best feeling.
Well, and I was just going to say that to Coach, too, because when he's just referencing Jabba, when you have those bad games, you probably feel like, oh, my God, you know, my teammates are going out and I'm letting them down because mm-hmm. I'm throwing a shit game.
But that was the cool part about it, though. I mean, at the end of the day, for him throwing a shit game and then we're down 5-0,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, our bats start going, pitching came on, and it was like the perfect storm.
Like you wanted to give every one of those kids a hug.
Listen to me. I don't cheer when Luke's on the mound. When he's off the mound, I'm the biggest cheerleader.
Right.
Like I'm rooting for everybody. But when he's on the mound, you won't hear a fucking peep
right,
out of me.
Right.
Soon as he came off, Doyle was up with his fucking skirt on, his pom-poms, and let's fucking
come
go.
Please bail us out here.
Please.
Yeah, so.
But a couple of things just real quick on that. I was able, blessed enough to be part of a Cooper, and I know I'm preaching the choir to this guy over here, but being part of a Cooperstown trip, and I'll be honest with you, that experience, as a grown-ass man, maybe one of the best weeks of my life. Just truly unbelievable, and there's going to be a bridge to this. When you are going to, like you said, the day-to-day games, I'm not saying people aren't fans and rooting for people, but it is truly it's monotonous. Like, you know what? You want people to do well, but it's not like you're fucking rooting your balls off.
Right.
Cooperstown that week, it is crazy because everybody has a vested interest. There's a lot of money being spent via the
points.
And it's crazy the excitement and how truly the parents come together as a whole and how much you are truly just rooting your balls off, because really that's a big deal. If you can come out in Cooperstown and be a decent, now I think there was 105 teams, I think, when we went, and we actually, ironically enough, I think we finished 32 or 33 out of that, which is not bad for small town
Virginia. Right.
When people are they're flying in pitchers and fucking, we got our fucking 12 kids on this. But the moral story is it's crazy how, and it's so exciting as a group, and you're just rooting on your kids because you want them selfishly to do well.
Sure you do.
So it's crazy how the state tournament and regionals become that Cooperstown trip.
Oh, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, everybody wants their kid to be part of a state championship, and then how everybody just comes together. So not only was the states fun, I would actually say the regionals were even at another level on how the crowd was into it from both sides, and how everybody's just rooting so hard for their kids and want to see them do well. That experience alone is just makes things so much more better at the end of the day.
Right. And in a region, you're really playing with house money then, because you've won the state, you've accomplished really what you want to do. To get out of the region, go to the World Series is, you know, a pipe dream. You know, it's achievable, but it would have taken a lot of breaks and a lot of, you know, a lot of things to go right. But, you know, you're playing with house money. It was sort of relaxing. We enjoyed it. We won a couple games. You guys won a couple games. And, yeah, and I agree. People were into it. And it's a different feel when you get to that level.
Totally different
feel. Different feel.
I felt bad for the umpires, not going to lie. I don't care if the umpire was Jesus Christ down there. It wouldn't matter what he was doing. I mean, if it went for us, it was great. If it went for the
end. So people were on him pretty good.
It wasn't crazy. I just think it was very irrational, if that's fair to say.
Oh, yeah. That's more than fair to say. No. And I would expect nothing less.
Stunning.
But to answer your question, Matt, they were on them, but it was kind of, because that's a whole nother level too, where they don't take no bullshit.
Right.
Sure. I mean, one of the third base coach from Delaware almost got booted out, which on a normal day, it would have been kind of swiped away.
Do you know if those guys were like guys from out of the area, or were they all?
Well, it's funny you say that. Luke said that two guys from Wheeling were there.
Okay, yeah. I figure each area would probably get somebody. Yeah, coach, is that how it works?
Yeah. Mark Mail was there, and Tony Veltri.
He didn't know the names.
Yeah, Mark Mail and Tony Veltri were there. They're very good. Both of them are veteran, very good umpires.
Yeah.
Excellent umpires.
Was it a two-man crew or three?
Three.
Three-man crew.
Yeah, okay. Three-man crew.
And I think the other side of that, and I'll quit talking about baseball, is the not so much, once again, I won't get on my soapbox about the crowd being reverent, but it is super cool, the reverence, when you're talking Legion baseball and the reason why Legion baseball is cool. Around. You talk about the Legion creed that is said before every game with the players, and then obviously the national anthem. To me, it just hits different, and maybe that's kind of corny. It is what it is, but I've talked on this podcast before how the national anthem should mean something, the flag should mean something to people, and the reverence to that aspect with the baseball, to me, was super, super cool. Unfortunately, back to the reverence part, you still had your dickheads in the crowd that fucking still don't show no fucking reverence to the flag and the national anthem, which is just, and it was some young kids too, and they were with their parents, and I tell you what, Luke would have been fucking without teeth. Period. Would have been without teeth. Mm-hmm. It's just disgusting.
Did Luke say anything about the meeting they had that when they got off the bus and went in? I know they had to wait a while to get their initial meeting with the chair people to go over the rules of the. Did Luke mention the respect for the flag and the national anthem to date?
They're very adamant about that.
Oh yeah, Soup almost they almost sent Soup home. Because they absolutely...
Of all guys, too, the nicest guy in the world. It
was movement during the national anthem. They say you don't move, hand on your heart, until the last note is done. You do not move in the national anthem. They are adamant about that, which is so cool. So Jubb and Jarrett and I have lived by that creed ever since with the national anthem. It's just awesome. I think it's so cool.
Well, yeah. The funny part about that is, remember when we were at pickleball and Soup made the mistake and picked?
That real long anthem.
Oh Lord in heaven!
What's this guy's name? I can't remember his name. He'd sing the national anthem.
Yeah,
that was dumb on the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
this country guy.
Yeah,
Stapleton.
It was Stapleton's version. Yeah, but here's the deal: really they long chose slow. One. They kind of mimicked Stapleton. So it was long, and it was the one they played every time. You thought it was time to clap, and it really wasn't time to clap.
So what happens in the event that a kid, he gets
warned, and then if he moves again, he's like a hockey player or something, they send him on a bus and send him home. And that's happened before.
So you're not allowed to play. You have to leave. You're not even allowed to, you're
out of the tournament.
You're done. You're done. They'll give you one. They come up to me and said, number 11, he's Soup, he was moving. He said, listen, we're going to give you a warning. If we have to approach this again, he's going home. And they meant it.
I bet they did.
He was going home because they have Legion. They said, we have Legion members here, veterans, that are adamant about the national anthem, and they don't want to see any disrespect to the flag or the song ever. I said,
that's awesome.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Well, they ought to have LeBron go to that clinic.
Oh, Jesus.
Have him go. Wouldn't that be amazing if they had to address the U.S. Olympic men's and women's teams? I mean, we got two people that openly knelt.
Well, they would just ignore them. They think they're better than the veterans. Because they got a bunch of money.
Yeah, they're better than the veterans. They're better than the guys that have done what they've done to make them be able to do.
Yeah, went into battle in harm's way, coming back missing limbs.
So they can go and play with a basketball and make billions of dollars.
Now, I've heard a hot debate on this, and I want to get your guys' take. Do you guys think that it's a bad show of faith as an American if you rooted against the U.S.?
No, I heard you talking. Absolutely not.
Because I've heard it mixed. I've heard people say yay and nay, and I don't think so.
I was rooting for Serbia so bad. It's unbelievable. And maybe here's what's bad, though. You don't know how the Serbian guys are. They may be dickheads like our guys during their anthem or whatever, but it's just...
Didn't seem
fact.
Like it. They were all giving the sign of the cross, and we're like really
and
into
I doubt it,
it
but I'm just saying.
Right. No, you're right.
We're
you
rooting
don't know.
Against them, but we don't know what they're like. But still, I heard you on the radio, and I 100% agree with you. No.
Chris?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I was rooting for them. I wasn't even rooting for the women.
No, me either, not because of Griner.
And it's funny because any articles I've read or even YouTube videos like podcasts, I'd read all the comments. You wouldn't believe the amount of people who were on there saying, right. Well, one thing, they weren't even watching women because Caitlin was
Yeah, that hurt.
And they said, well, if I did tune in, it was because I want to see them lose. Because there's so many, they're an unlikable team. It's like the last Olympics where with the U.S. women's soccer team. Nobody liked them. Right. They were unlikable.
And they totally turned it around. Jeff, what do you think?
I'll be honest, I'm on the same page. The Doyle household banned the Olympics for how many days?
16 full days.
Yeah. We banned it for at least... We started because we went to visit her parents and her dad was watching, but we banned it because of the whole beginning thing.
Yeah, it wasn't a good start.
Just was not a good start. And I'll be honest, I'm an Olympic fan. I genuinely enjoy watching the competition. I respect the fact of matter, the time that is put into that. So we banned it for actually, and then we kind of got soft a little bit at the end there. But so I agree, 1,000%. Yeah. I think it's fucked up, and I think just because they have the USA across their chest, like you said, it doesn't necessarily represent us.
And I rooted for all the other smaller sports and the people that are passionate and were great, just representatives of the United States. I'm not so wild about the guy that won the 100 meters. He acted like an idiot. But like the soccer team, I could root for them again. They had some girls who were really classy, and now they don't have Megan Rapinoe, and they're actually there for business to represent the country. You saw how proud they were, and all those lesser sports that don't get any notice, the swimming and all the other things, great athletes. I was so happy to watch and cheer for them. And so the only USA teams that I wasn't rooting for was those two basketball teams.
You know what's really, I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Isn't it sad that we're having this conversation?
Yeah, it is sad.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about the Olympics. Now, granted, I think the Olympics has flailed a little bit as years have went on. Yeah, like you talk about when I was young and the Olympics came on.
Oh my goodness.
They
were revered by everybody.
Fucking deal. But I think at the end of the day, it's a sad story that we're sitting here talking about this. And they should not represent us.
Well, like Coach said, you're sending people there that don't appreciate any of this stuff.
It's awful.
And these pro, and Chris said it too on the radio about the professionals have ruined it. And it does take away from it. I'm not saying that it wasn't neat for like the first person to make the Olympic team for one of those pro teams that was a basketball player. It wasn't a neat experience for them, but they just don't appreciate it the same as these kids that work their asses off. They're amateurs in their sport, and this is the biggest experience of their lives. It just means more to them.
And these NBA guys, I mean, I don't know the entire roster, but probably every one of those guys is making $20, $30 million a season.
Yes.
And then I get online, and then I see that, you know, Jason Tatum didn't play one game. So he's butthurt. So every goddamn day there's an article about Jason Tatum. Well, why is it, you know, or Steve Kerr didn't play him. It was just like, I was so disinterested in them. And I just, it was nothing about the games. It was just, well, Tatum's pissed off. Then his mom wanted an explanation.
Like,
this isn't about this. It's just supposed to be patriotism, root for your country, but it's like, I got to get mine.
USA basketball's fucked everything up, though.
Yeah,
they really leave Clark off, and Chris, you were saying about how the TV ratings for the girls' basketball is down because of that?
Well, they were saying, I actually saw a podcast right before I came down here. They said the ratings were just about the same as they were in the, whatever, the 4 years ago. I don't know if it was Tokyo.
Yeah.
But they were just kind of pointing out that that they did not experience any growth. And I don't think they capitalized at all on the Caitlin Clark thing when they had a great opportunity to showcase her. And did you watch any of the women's basketball?
Not
I didn't turn it on once.
Nope.
I didn't even know when they played.
I didn't see one play.
Nope. Did you even turn the Olympics on?
I didn't purposely ever turn them on. I might have walked in and Patty was watching them, or what just happened to be on, but I never sat and watched.
Because we didn't see you two Sundays ago at the club, because the only thing that I ever saw live was when I walked in, those guys had that 100 meter dash on with that no allows one.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that I saw live, and that's because it was on.
That's what I said.
I'm more of a Winter Olympics guy anyway, but I just. It's tough to like some of these players.
And I saw that the ratings in the men's gold medal game was only like 1 million less than the South Carolina-Iowa girls basketball game from this year.
Oh, wow.
Which is nuts. Like, that's unthinkable, actually, to think about how much women's basketball has grown in the past year, and then they leave the biggest star off.
How could they do that?
It's unbelievable.
And for girls that were old and shouldn't even have been on the team. Diana Taurasi didn't even play.
No, she was god-awful.
That's
stupid. What I was going to say earlier on the radio, they were, I guess the hell's her WNBA commissioner at Kathy Engelbert.
yeah, there you go.
But she and to me, it was like all damage control because she was talking about, well, just like it was a firestorm, a wave of Caitlin Clark with all this momentum, and they didn't capitalize on it all, didn't take her to the. And she was like, well, we didn't really, because they were talking about her and Angel Reese, like household names, at least in college basketball. I mean, I think Caitlin Clark's, fuck, she's probably world famous now. But basically didn't do anything to make that game bigger, enhance the game. And she made a comment.
That's part of their mission statement, well, by the way, too, USA Basketball, to grow the game of basketball. Yeah.
And she said that, well, we weren't really aware that this was going to happen as fast as it did.
And I mean, she been?
Did she miss the fucking college games?
Yeah, right. Shut the hell up.
I mean, it was just.
Where has this lady been? You got the biggest TV contract in the history of your league. You have more ratings now than you've ever had, and you didn't know this was going to be a big deal.
And not only that, the perfect timing. Oh, Lord. She enters the WNBA. She
couldn't have turned out on an Olympic year.
On Olympic year, boom, and they didn't. Because they're,
wait 4 years
they're jealousy and envious and pettiness.
They allow that to happen. And I don't want to say that it's a business decision, but that's a fucking business
decision.
It's a
major blunder.
I mean, honestly, you think about the decision, how it truly hurt. They could have had more money, more ratings, more everything.
And international exposure is big.
It's just crazy to me that somebody fucked up.
And no one will ever pay for it because they'll never admit that they fucked up.
No, but if either any of us four here, anybody that we know with half a brain, if we were the commissioner of that fucking WNBA.
The very first thing you'd do.
You're telling that coach, I don't care what other 11 you keep, you're keeping her. Yeah, that's how it should go.
That's not even a hard decision.
And it's not even that she is like Bronny James and she just deserves to be on. She's that good. She's good enough to be on the team.
Yes.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
It's unbelievable.
And how about, did you guys see, I thought this is really, really neat. The New York Yankees had her come to their team. Did you guys see that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my God, it was amazing. And even Aaron Boone, and I'm not a Yankee fan by any means, he was going on and on about how great she was and how starstruck Aaron Judge, Juan Soto. They get pictures with her, man. And it made these guys their life. Like it was, they were all stars. He said, I've never seen these guys so excited than when Caitlin Clark came. And she felt the same way. So I don't know if she was always a Yankee fan, but it's really cool. I saw a bunch of videos about it and them getting together, and they absolutely thought it was like the neatest thing they ever experienced. So that's saying something.
Well, I think at the end of the day, do you not agree? I would imagine that at that level, people respect greatness and they got to understand she's fucking great. So I can see where that would be the case. And it's cool that they kind of did what they did. I mean, whether it's a little bit of a play or whatever, but that, I think that's pretty bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about another unsuccessful franchise right now. Coach, your Pirates. You haven't been on the radio this week to talk about it.
Well, I heard you guys talking about them today. And
is it over? Is the white flag raised in your mind?
Oh, yeah. It's just, and I'm a Pirates fan, but I've fallen off the wagon, as you guys have too. And it's just, there's so many, and it's, you guys have talked about it. We talk, but it's just, you know, just so many, there's so many issues now with them. It's beyond Nutting and Sheldy and the relief pitching and key. It's a combination of everything. It's just like a mess in a pot now that you can't, there's no way they can get out. There's no way they can get out of this now. There's no way.
So you're saying it's like when Champ burnt the soup down at the bridge and you can't unburn it.
You're not bringing it back.
It's gone. It's got to be tossed.
When Kevin dropped a big pot of chili
on the office floor. Yeah.
You're not putting that back in the pot. There's no way you can get that chili back in the pot to eat it. It's gone. It's gone. It was delicious while it was in the pot.
Smelled great.
Everything was going to be great. And then he dropped it and he tried to, and he fell in it.
Yeah.
And he fell in the chili, so that's where they are.
Jeff, what are your thoughts? Have you been watching them at all?
I've been trying a little bit, and I've kept up with it. But the one thing, I'll play devil's advocate. At least they've given us, what, I would say till the end of July. Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah. I mean, it ended July 30th when they made the trades. They hit the skids the next day. They've been 1-10 since then.
My absolute hope was that they could hang around till football season.
Without a doubt.
Right. So that on a Saturday, we're in the Pine Room, and we've got great football on, which
well, not always great. Great entertainment. I'll say that.
It's always great.
It might be great if I'm winning the bets. If I'm winning my bets, it'll be great.
And then at 4:30 or at 7, the Pirates come on in a meaningful game, which would have been so much fun. But now
that'd have been a Pine Room first. It's the very first day of the Pine Room.
And honestly, back as you guys mentioned 2 weeks ago, they were in second place, and they were like six games over 500 or five games over 500.
I walked into the studio, and you weren't there, of course, but Coach and Chris were there with the other guys, and you guys were talking all this stuff, and Chris is saying, hey, I wouldn't count the Pirates out from tracking down the Brewers. And then, Chris, there you go. Kiss of death. I kind of dawned on me today when you were talking about that. I came in and said, what the hell are you smoking?
They several times this year, they were teetering on this this disaster. They teetered on it, but they got out of it somehow. Right. They had a big, like, they went and beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 out there, or got a big, you know, win at home or put together a nice it's over.
And I think Jared said it best. They just don't have enough talent.
That's
not to overcome all these things going
right. That's the bottom line.
And the morale's gone now.
And then you throw Derek Shelton in there, who I think is a buffoon. Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard you guys talking, you know, when you're a manager has no talent, there's not much he can do.
Right.
But I think he's created some of the issues in the clubhouse and on their field of play because of the revolving door. The lineups change every day. You know, where you're playing in the field, where you're hitting in the lineup. They got guys playing right field that literally couldn't play right field.
Bay looks lost.
Jarrett makes me laugh every time he says, all G1 Bay does is run around out there. He takes horrible angles on the ball. Then he's got to chase it down. He said he just watches. Watch, G1 just runs. He just runs. Why would they put the guy? That's not fair to him either.
No.
Right field is the hardest position in the outfield to play. I know. Listen, when you're growing up, everybody said stick your worst play in right field. Well, listen, your best outfielder better be in right field now. And Triola's been out there. G1 Bay's been out there.
Oliveras
has been out there, and they're all butchers. Jack. They've had the Henry Davis out there.
Year. Ruined his career, probably.
Right? What are they thinking? That like Joe? Oh, we'll stick him out here. Won't be the ball comes out at whole different angle, whole different speed, whole different whole curves a different way. It's hard to read off a right hander, and they put these guys out there, and just they're lost. And it's not the guy's fault. They put him out there in a no-win situation. Yep. It's impossible. I mean,
and that's on Shelton. You're right.
It is. It's on Derek Shelton.
Well, I would love to know some of these other teams, like their just the philosophy they have throughout their organization, because it seems like I would always hear Charrington talk about. They love a guy with position flexibility. They
why?
Love that.
I mean, you have, in my opinion, you have one guy on your roster. It's a utility player.
Right.
He can fill in on certain nights in different. You don't have like six guys that can play different positions. That's not. Yeah. That, I mean, you just don't do that.
We're not in Pinot.
No, it's not.
Okay, every guy gets an inning in a different spot.
Oh, so Lord. And just guys taking the fourth day off. And the Sunday lineups were just absolutely just embarrassing to wheel that out there with Skeens pitching or Jared Jones or Mitch Keller. They got to be like, what? They're never going to score me any runs.
Yeah. Well, last night they had great
Woodford. That guy out of nowhere again.
He pitched great, and they got – They got what a run? When did they score one run?
I think
eighth or ninth.
Yeah. And I looked at when they post the lineups with the averages, the Pirates are unbelievable. I looked at the Dodgers lineup they had one guy hitting under 200. He was hitting .900. Everybody else other than Kike Hernandez was hitting like .270 or above, and they had two guys hitting over .300.
Wow.
I mean, you look down their lineup; it was now obviously they spent a lot of money for that. But other teams that you watch, the Padres have. I said the Diamondbacks. Look at their lineup. Their lineup is brutal in the middle of their line.
Yeah.
And I was talking to
– And Carroll hasn't even had a good year. He's had a bad year for him.
I was talking to Mike Medovic this morning walking a dog. He was talking about the – I said, when you got a guy like Key Brian Hayes playing third base, your corner infielders are supposed to be a power threat.
Yep.
If they can hit .260 or .270 but have that – that power threat. That is what you need. And they say, well, he's a good defensive player. You should be a good defensive player if you're third baseman. Yep. I mean, look, you
they
go
all
down the line,
are.
They're
you
all
said
good.
It the other day.
They're all good third basemen. Yeah, they're all good. You don't.
There's not many Pedro Alvarez out there.
You don't put a guy at third base just for his defense. He's got to be able to hit the long ball. Yep. He's got to be able to drive the ball in the alley.
No doubt.
He's got to be able to hit in the clutch also. And
he couldn't hit in a clutch in a
Mustang game.
He isn't good in the 9-0 game. Like, he hit a home run to get him off the zero the other day.
He just is faded into oblivion in my mind. Yeah. Faded into oblivion. And he's be honest with you, he's made some blunders at third base too.
Yes. He hasn't played a clean third.
No. And he got paid.
Yeah.
And he got paid. And he got paid. I mean, that's crazy. Well, I wish I could fuck up like that and get paid.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be super fun.
I think that was, I mean, they signing him to that. I mean, I don't, what did he even have one good
was
year?
Was that just a knee jerk?
Yeah,
I seen that's like what it seemed, seemed like. It. He had a good, like, week or two and they were giving him money. So I think he knew he was getting money he would never get again, so he had to jump on that immediately.
And, and here's the thing again. Who suffers? The fans.
Oh, yeah. The fans. Same old.
When
are they going to shut Skeens down, you think?
Oh, boy. If this continues, it'll probably he'll be...
Maybe two more starts.
Yeah, maybe.
Tops. I mean,
in sports, guys, let's face it. The fans have suffered more than... The NIL deals, the transfer portal, yep. they talk about these kids not getting this, not getting... The fans are the ones that pay the price.
That's a really good point, Mark. I never thought about that. That's a really good point.
You love Notre Dame. Luke probably knew... 2 years ago, every guy that was going to be there and, hey.
Three deep in all the recruits.
We got these guys coming back next year. This guy's coming. Help. You know, you might want to go out and buy this guy's jersey or something. Shit, there's a good chance he ain't going to be around.
Right.
The fans have paid the price.
Look at us.
In my opinion.
How many different college t-shirts did you have from our cousins and your nephews?
It's unbelievable. I've changed the seat in the Pine Room 3 times now. Texas, Baylor, and Oklahoma.
God, and I got a couple of those ugly green and gold Baylor. I got a hoodie and a pullover, and God, that pullover is so ugly.
So the fans are suffering in baseball, and for the Pirates, we're suffering there because they do the same thing every year. They get your hopes up for a while, and then it's crashing down. Now football has become college football, which we all love.
I used to love it. It's just ruined now.
But it has absolutely been ruined. Now, will I still watch it? But you know, there's lines on it. We're going to be gambling. That adds a whole different...
And beer to be drank.
It's just not... Jeff, you speak to this because you're a Notre Dame guy and you probably kind of feel the same way I do about Miami. While I'll still be excited to watch the games, it's a little bit different for me. And I would say even in the last 10 years, it's just slowly gotten less important to me. How do you feel about it?
And it is true. I think where I'm a little bit different is Luke being in the
house. No. He still keeps the young energy in the house. I get that. No doubt about it.
But I agree. I think I hit that law at one point in time, and then Luke re-circumvented
me. Yeah, that makes sense.
But I still get excited. But I agree. I think college football now is just the product. I never looked at it like that, Marcus. And it is true. It's the consumer, man, that definitely takes a hit for it. And it's sad. It really is.
It is.
And we've talked about this a million times, so apologize for the redundancy. Do I think the kids should have got a stipend? I do. I agree.
I'd be fine with that.
It should have been under control.
Under control. I think if Jeff DeWille comes from a background of family that isn't well-to-do and needs a little bit of cash, 100% to be able to take their girlfriend out to dinner, whatever the fuck case might be. But millions of dollars, this is absolutely ridiculous.
How about the cars they're driving?
Cars. I mean,
did you see that now Arkansas, some of the bigger schools now are charging people to come to watch practice?
Yeah.
Charging them because
they
got to
make
practice.
That money back, probably.
And people are paying it.
Yep.
That's absurd.
That's unbelievable. I mean, it might only be $25, but there's still 30,000 people coming to watch practice.
It's just the whole Prince program.
Yeah, they said they're number one drawing practice
team
in the country.
For a team that hasn't
Arkansas.
Won shit
literally.
My entire life.
Yeah, literally my whole entire life.
And so in basketball, they were good a couple years.
I can't believe it. It's
some of the price tags, though. Like Miami's quarterback, Cam Ward, that transferred from Washington State, he's making $3.5 million this year. And, and he's not even really that good.
Speaking of money, speaking of things that really got under my skin too, have you guys seen the prices of Mountaineer tickets and parking for the Penn State game?
Weeks was talking about it, how horrible it is. That's a disgrace.
It's a disgrace. Ren Baker or whoever's making those decisions should be fired. It's ridiculous.
The Mountaineers can't do that to their
people. Did you see the prices, Chris?
No, I was going to just ask you what they
were. The park, there's blue lot passes going for one game like $2,500, $3,000.
You'd be a fool to not sell those.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I mean, if I was Weeks, I wouldn't even step foot down there the whole year.
I'm telling you.
I'd sell every one of them games.
And there's no single game tickets now. It's sold out, but they were raping people.
Yeah, it was awful.
And did you read the story on their the club for the alumni football players? Did you read about that?
Yeah.
About now they all got an allotment of tickets, like there were so many.
Yeah.
Now for Penn State, they have to put so much money in now, and then they get a chance to get a ticket.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's in like a lottery.
And it's all going to NIL. All it's going to NIL.
Well, I knew this was going to happen because I want to get to what you said about the pro, too, Dallas or about the Browns. But you knew this was going to happen. The Mountaineers do not have the group of boosters to be able to compete with Notre Dame and Alabama and so on and all these other teams, even Miami and Florida, who's not been good in football in years. So you knew they were going to pass on the costs eventually to the fans. And now they're fucking their fans. It's ridiculous. There's probably guys that have had tickets down there for 40 years, and now all of a sudden they can't afford them. I mean, it's awful. But you knew West Virginia was playing with fire. Once they went to the Big 12, that was the beginning of the end to me for them, and they're going to really struggle to compete with these the Big 10 and these ACC-rich schools. Mountaineers don't fit. They don't have that footprint that the rest of these schools have.
No.
It's going to be really, really hard for them to be able to do it.
The thing about it, Matt, is they weren't fitting before the Big 10.
No, they weren't. They weren't. So and now just add this to it.
Stick a fork in them. Yeah. I mean, they're done. And I understand they had to make a decision because obviously at that time there was conferences that didn't want them, and I do understand that. But man, it would really suck to have a college kid and they are good in sports, and you can't go watch them consistently because you're traveling halfway fucking across the country.
Right.
Conference
games in the Big Ten. How about those? Coast to coast. Literally water to water.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, once again, consumer. Parents being the consumer, too.
Right.
I mean, it's just it's absurd. It really is.
And a player's either going to leave because he's not getting to play enough, or he's too good and he's going to go sign somewhere else.
Somewhere to get more money.
So you got both sides are going to leave. The only guys that might stay are your middle-of-the-road guys that aren't making a lot of money and aren't superstars.
And are satisfied with what their little bit they might be getting.
Yeah, so it's just – and it's only going to get worse.
No, and there's no rules for it. Like the Quinn Ewers guy gets $1 million from Ohio State, leaves 5 days later to go to Texas to get more, and keeps the money. And there's nobody to tell him he can't.
You caught it right away, right at the beginning, the Wild, Wild West.
It is. Literally, they're short of shooting guys, pulling guns out and killing them. Which might come next. I don't know.
But nobody should be surprised by it.
No.
Let's say open it up.
But it's like the WNBA lady. Like, she was surprised. But these presidents and stuff and commissioners are acting like, oh, boy, we didn't see it getting this bad. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? And, you know your product.
And, Mark, there was an article, it wasn't all that long ago, on Metro News about Ren Baker was saying, you know, with this, and they have to find different ways, different means to generate revenue. And maybe that's part of it with all those outrageous ticket prices. I don't know all the strategies, what they were going to do. But I'm sure, it comes to the consumer. And when does the consumer finally say,
we've been saying
fuck
it forever.
You.
We've been saying
we're not doing this anymore. We just can't.
We've been saying it forever.
I want to go back to your point. One of the biggest things in a leadership role at that level is forecasting. And it actually insults the intelligence of the consumer.
Sure does.
When they say, we didn't see that coming.
You got to be kidding me.
Like, shut the fuck up. Like, you may be talking to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, but there is some people with IQs out there.
Right.
Are you really trying to make me swallow your words right now?
Right.
Yeah. That you didn't see that coming? Like, are you fucking kidding me?
I've always said, and in education also, the people with the most power have the least common sense.
No question about it.
The least common sense.
It's like that in companies across the world, too.
They make these decisions not based on common sense and what is best for the company. It's based on like money
based on the bottom line, right?
And they don't ever see the small part of the picture, like never. Down where it builds up, because you run into that a lot, and I'm sure you do, and every one of us that have worked jobs, they don't have any idea what's going on at the base level because they never experienced it before. Like, why are these rich commissioners, these fat cats who setting up bowl games, making $1.5 million a year to book two teams for the Orange Bowl, why are they deciding what is going to be best for all these football programs? From the bottom guy up down to the fans, they don't know what it's like. They've never had to buy tickets to a game or work hard to earn a living to take their kids to a game, to something they love. They haven't had to do any of that, so they don't know what it's like. It's like when you bitch about beer prices at some of these stadiums. The people setting them aren't consumers. They don't drink the beer. Right. They don't go to the game. They're not bringing their families there, so they don't know. And they're always the ones making the decisions. And, Coach, you're exactly right. Like the superintendents of school systems and so on and so forth. And not everywhere. Some great ones out there. But a lot of times, they haven't been in the classroom in 40 years or never at all.
Right.
And they're making decisions that are best to impact the kids and the teachers. It's just, it's so backwards.
How about consulting the people that are in the in the trenches every day? Whether it's in sports, education, business, whatever it is.
That would make common sense.
Right. And they don't have that problem. That is stripped from 90% of businesses and corporations.
But even if they
conferences
did that, are they going to listen to
them? That's true, too.
Probably not.
Because, you know, they
because they know more than you.
They definitely do know more than
you. And they probably don't like what they hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, now, Mark, when you guys had season tickets of Mountaineers back in the 80s, maybe 10 years, 12 years, or was it? But it seemed like back then, like, it was just, I mean, it was a fun thing, but you weren't getting raped on prices and all that stuff. But now it's just become such a big business. I think guys like us, we've kind of stepped back some because it's not.
You couldn't pay me to go to.
I wouldn't go to a game now anywhere. I no way.
It's just, I don't know. It's, like I said, pricing everybody out of it.
Dessert is an essential part to a quality life, and quality desserts make life all the more better. Had a long day at work and you need something sweet? Maybe you're out late and you need the perfect snack to cap off your evening. Or you're just a dessert lover with a knack for the finest of sweet treats. Well, say hello to the Brownie House, home of the best brownies ever. A family bakery dedicated to baking the world's best gourmet brownies, baked with premium imported chocolate, high-quality ingredients, and no preservatives. No prepackaged, pre-made, fake-tasting chocolate, no. These brownies are made from scratch, shipped nationwide, and delivered right to your door. And starting right now, you can head to yesbrownies.com and use the code PINEROOM, all caps, during checkout to receive 20% off your order. For the best brownies and more, take a trip to the Brownie House.
But here's an example. I'll give you the timeline. And I don't know what pit tickets are now, and I think I've shared this before numerous times. But Luke's 19 now, so probably when Luke would have been, I'm going to say, between the 5 and 7 neck of the woods, we bought pit season tickets for $100.
Just for that
so
game.
For the Notre Dame game. So we're talking, what, 10, 12 years ago,
I
season tickets for $100. Yeah. Yep. I would love to know what you could buy pit.
I remember when we were going, Chris, you mentioned that before, I think, because there were like always 8 of us that that bought them. I think every guy was like maybe $110 or $120
That's
for
crazy.
For like 6 games. Yeah.
Now you can get one game for
that. No, you can't get one. No.
With parking and
shit? We got a blue light.
Yeah,
pass
blue light
with
parking. Blue
we're $2,500 right now.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's just incredible.
You brought up something, Mark, about the Division I level. But I tell you what's bothering me now, too, even at the lower levels. And I could give examples of local kids, but I won't do that. But like kids now that are going to your Division II or Division III, and they go there and quote unquote, they're good. And they've been told all their whole life to how good they are. And they go there their freshman year and they don't see the court, the field, the baseball diamond, whatever. And then they want to fucking pull out and go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
Like it makes no sense to me nowadays.
Don't pay your dues.
Don't pay your dues.
No.
You should just
that's unheard of.
And like there's a couple local kids right now that already happened to that they're changing. They're going from one D3 to another five. And I'm not here's the deal. I've said this all along. I don't care if you're playing Division 10 baseball. If you can go balance baseball
absolutely.
And academics, I don't get it's totally awesome. But you're that makes I just that blows me. And it's because I guarantee it's mommy and daddy that are saying, hey, you deserve better than that. You should be blah 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 this and that. And that's driven them their whole life that once they get they're not quote unquote the best on the field.
Right.
They just want to fucking pull out and go somewhere else.
Well, and it's just the reverse, or the opposite. It's just so weird that, you know, even if you're not an athlete, you're going to try to pick out a school to go to that's affordable, that can, it's in a family budget. Now it's like, well, I'm going to pick a school where they're paying me to go.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's
right.
So fucked up.
It is crazy, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know.
Times have changed with that, fellas.
Oh, Lord in heaven.
Lower level sports in college might be in really big trouble as they continue to close schools in the Mountain East. I mean, these D1s are now poaching all these. And the other side of that, what you just said, is there's players out there that go to the D2s or even the D3s, and then they have a good season, and then they're getting recruited by D1s right from the D2s and 3s, and they're taking them away because they're getting money. So now, I mean, they're just sucking them dry. I mean, you look at it in Nova in basketball, West Liberty in basketball, it's happened to them. I mean, I've seen D3 golfers getting full rides to Stanford because they play good, because they have all this money to throw at these kids, and it's crazy, and they can't say no to it, and who could blame them?
And what's sad is now, and you see it, you guys, especially in the basketball realm, D2 basketball in West Virginia Conference was really good.
Exceptional.
I mean, guys that literally could be playing Division I, but they stayed at the D2 level because there was none of that mess. Listen, D2 football in a conference, when West Lib was good, Amedro was there,
that we wouldn't have had any of those guys now.
I remember going down and watching those guys come out of the locker room and watching. I said, oh, my God. I said, if these are D2 guys,
right,
what do the D1 guys look like coming out of the locker room? Because that was good football and really good basketball back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you guys were into the basketball more than I was, and you saw some of the incredible players that we nowadays. You're right, Matt. They'd never.
None of those guys would play. You go back to that year, Chris, when Fairmont, Wheeling, and West Liberty with Crutchfield. Calhoun and Danny Sancombe were in the top five in the country.
Yes. Top five in the
country. And probably three or four guys on every one of those teams, including Haywood Highsmith, would not even have came to these
schools.
Wouldn't
have been there.
They wouldn't have. They would take money to go to a Duquesne or a lower level D1, a MAC school. All those kids at West Liberty have from Ohio, Chris, over the years. Girls, too. All of our best players came from Ohio. They would all have went to MAC schools for money.
And here's the thing.
We would have never seen any of them.
And I've seen it, and you guys have seen the different, how it's changed over the years. It isn't even close to being the competition.
No.
There are very few really good really, really good players in the Mountain East Conference basketball now.
No doubt.
Compared to what it was.
It's trash.
And it's went down just in the last 2 years.
The year
Nova and West Liberty made it to the finals, I noticed a huge drop-off in the Mountain East tournament last year for the men. Like maybe five very good players. Prior years, you're having five, six, seven, eight superstars. Yeah. Like, you don't have it anymore.
Do you know what the old Fairmont teams would do to these teams in the Mountain East Conference now?
Oh, good. Salem teams.
Both of Fairmont.
Butch Haswell.
And even back Joe Retton days.
Joe Retton.
You saw those teams, right?
Oh, my God. They were unbelievable. And it's all just all because of this mess going on now.
And schools are closing. Notre Dame's gone now. So we only have 10 football schools now this year in Mountain East.
Yeah.
It's sad. It really is.
It is. Yeah. It's a sad state of affairs.
And back to Coach's point about hurting the fans, like West Liberty, a small community, people were into those teams.
Oh, my Lord.
And now even it's affecting them to where the kids aren't sticking around for four years. In the past, we knew every kid. Chris, you know, we developed friendships that will last forever. Yeah. Coach, you too. Back to the days when, you know, Kevin Higgins and Eric Bavard and those guys, they were there for 5 and 4 years, all of our guys. Oh. It was rare when one guy would transfer ever. And we would get a transfer. It was even more rare.
Never left. Now, what I think 6 or 7 guys have left West Liberty.
Right, and West Liberty's a top 5 program.
Okay. So why?
Senseless.
Money.
But it's hard to blame the kids because now they're being leveraged to where they can make a difference for their families even.
Well, it's kind of like when they Trump did the debate in the last election and they're calling him out on the tax laws and this and that, and he came out and said, it's corrupt. I know it's corrupt. But until you change the laws, I'm going to keep on fucking doing my thing. So it's the same thing, right? If somebody's going to hand Luke Doyle a fucking check for $2 million, it's going to be hard for me to look him in the eyes and go, you know what? You should probably ask him loyalty.
Yeah.
you should probably have a little bit of loyalty, right?
There's time down the road for loyalty.
Yeah, and I understand. I mean, there needs to be a little bit of a balance. But the problem is, and I'm not a big believer just because Mark Delbrook does it, I need to do it. But if you're the only guy not on the take, that means if you're on the basketball team and you're the only guy not on the take, that means you're going to have four fucking guys around that's not going to make you better.
You're going to be terrible.
Or you're going to be
your
bad.
Your team's going to be terrible.
So you're not going to be part of any kind of winning program. So, I mean,
yeah.
That's a tough thing. So I agree. You take the fucking money, right?
How do you guys think it works in these D1 locker rooms when you have kids making 3.5 and another guy making nothing? Or making like just pennies.
Actually,
like,
let's take
I mean, as you start to lose, I'm sure it unravels at some point.
Right? What about like a I'll take a basketball out of it. Take about like a football team and you have the lineman that's blocking for that.
Sure.
Right, 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 right. Yeah. That's what I was
going to
say. That
is literally getting fucking pounded every fucking play.
Exactly.
Every play. That would be a rough pill to swallow.
Very, very rough.
Yeah. Yep. Now, I have heard a few of the quarterbacks.
Sometimes you might want to go like this as a lineman and say, huh.
Keep on telling me about your $3.3 million.
Well, they said last year at Colorado, like some of those guys were starting to do that. Let Sanders get tattooed into the turf.
I believe that.
Because Deion called him out, so they all sucked, and they were just missing blocks on purpose.
We'll see how bad we suck.
Yeah. Right.
Well, exactly. Some of the smart quarterbacks I saw that were very smart about it, they were compensating their linemen. If they're getting $2 million, they're giving their linemen $100,000 a piece or something. To make them. I mean, I would do that. It's protecting your well-being.
God. Yeah,
yeah.
But until they get a hold of this, to where you shouldn't be able to move schools like this all the time and just take the money and run. They got to stop. They got to knock it off a little bit.
And even before NIL, how could they possibly think the transfer portal was going to be good? What part
you
of that?
Can't say no to a kid.
What part of that did they think would be good?
Well, what'd you say 10 minutes ago? The guy's making the most money, the dumbest one.
Yeah, why would they?
No logic.
I would love to say, when you guys came up with this and you sat around your table and had your coffee and your donut and what guy said, I really have a good idea?
Yeah. What's your vision with your good idea, right?
I think we should just let kids go wherever they want. Just when they get tired of playing here, just go and play somewhere else. I think that would really be good.
And then Jimmy says, yeah, Bob, you're right. That is a good idea.
Wow.
And then Kenny chimes
and
in.
But then one guy in the Zoom says, well, what about loyalty? What? Loyalty. Loyalty.
Well, if you think about it, actually, now that I'm thinking this through, it came before this shit started happening before the NIL.
That's what I mean.
Right.
Open enrollment in high school.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You can go wherever the fuck you want.
It's a wild west in Charleston.
Filtered itself down to this. Mm-hmm.
Charleston's a wild, wild west.
Yeah, I mean, all those schools in the surrounding area, you can go wherever.
And here's what I hear is happening. Like, the best athletes in all the schools are getting in contact with each other and saying, hey, let's go to St. Albans. Everybody go to St. And then everybody goes there. Now, does that always work? I don't think it always works.
I don't think it does either.
Because then you get all of them trying to fight for the spotlight.
You get all big heads. Yeah,
and the big ego parents, too, because they're a big problem in all of it.
Yeah,
the parents.
Then you got four receivers and only two of them are getting
there's only one ball.
Right.
That's a problem.
That is a problem.
So that doesn't always work, but that's what's happening.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening.
It was doomed to fail. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's just, you can't. I mean, but, we started to do it in the NBA, starting to let those guys pick their teams. They're going to hold out. James Harden's going to go here. Durant's going to go there. And these kids see that, and now these stupid people in charge, like you say, Coach, they're idiots,
and they
think, well, you know, we don't want to hear the complaints anymore about having to sit out for a transfer, so we're gonna make it. You know, it's gonna be equity across the board. Everybody's equal. You just do whatever you want, whenever you want. Everybody's equal.
I look at Wheeling Park now. They've lost two very good players, both football and basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two very good players, and again. You can't blame you. Honestly, can't blame the kids about what they're doing.
No,
you can't.
No,
I get it.
They're allowed to do it, so they're gonna do it.
The rules out there. I mean, right? At the end of the day, it's not like they're manipulating the system because the system's already in play for
buying
them.
A piece of property in a certain county, it used to happen in the old days.
That shit, yeah. I mean, mailbox. You got a mailbox.
Right. Kid in a stroller going through the store wants a piece of candy and. He starts crying, and mom gives it to him. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do next time?
100%.
Cry louder.
Do it again.
Get more.
And he's going to get it again.
The lottery cries the more
the more he gets.
Roll on the floor. Get here. Pick what you want.
You want toys?
Just shut the fuck up.
Pick what you want. Shut up. Shut up. Get what you want.
I'll tell you what, though. All that being said, is there anything more,
being a coach, that's like the least. I mean,
on today's world,
in today's world, I mean, man. Just whatever. Even you know, grade school, high school, college. I mean, just to
it's a no-win situation. I mean, either you're getting accused of sexual assault or what. I mean, you can't. If I was a guy, I couldn't coach females. No, you couldn't
way.
Do it.
Oh,
no, I mean, it would be. You don't know one thing. You say halfway wrong and you're in trouble.
But you don't even have to do anything
right.
wrong.
Could,
somebody some
say.
Girl doesn't like you, yep. accuses you of
yeah,
touching
you're finished.
Him.
You're finished.
Done. If you are 100% innocent, your name is tarnished.
Yeah, yeah. Coaching now, I give people credit for
I
doing
do
it
too.
Still because I couldn't even possibly dream of it.
Well, now how about trying to be a Division I football coach now in a big school and you're trying to balance NIL, transfer portal, recruiting, like
why do you think Saban left?
That's
yeah, he had enough. He had enough. He did not like where things were going.
No, he did not.
That ought to tell them a lot, right there. The smartest, most successful coaches ever. He realized this was really bad.
And you're trying to balance. How can you do all that? And then at the end of the year, who in the hell is going to come back? You're sitting in your office one day, we're getting things ready, and this kid comes in, your star receiver, says, "Coach, thank you for everything, but I'm gone."
Yeah.
And you haven't prepared recruiting wise to for him to leave. So now you're in a hell of
a jam. Worry, you got the portal.
Well, that's what you got to do.
That'll save you.
That's what you got to do.
Well, a great example, and I'm not saying he was a rock star quarterback, is my opinion. He was kind of overrated. But the kid from Ohio State, he won how many games last year for Ohio State, the quarterback?
Like 11.
10, 11 10, games. Yeah. And he's not their starting quarterback.
It's unbelievable.
They ran him out of town.
Absolutely
they
unbelievable.
To get
unbelievable.
Mean, you win that. I mean, it's big boy football, one of the best programs, as much as I hate to say, one of the best programs in the country. And he's not the quarterback.
He's not the quarterback.
I mean, that just blows my mind.
It blows your mind.
And then you know what will happen this year? The guy they got in there now, because he hasn't really had a great career either. If he struggles, they'll run him out of town. Because that people will tell you that's the only area of question on the whole team. Still
is
the quarterback. Yeah.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. That's the only area. They think this guy's going to be a lot better, but they're still not certain. And every other place, they're loaded, of course.
Yes, they are, too. Well, here's a little I'm going to go a little political on you guys.
Oh,
right
yeah, let's go.
Obviously, you can't trust polls, but it's blowing my mind right now that, quote unquote, we're in a neck and neck race right now in the presidential.
Wow, yeah, I think she's actually taking a little bit of a lead.
The amount of money that she's fundraising the past week, I mean, it's just astronomical. So my question to you fellas is, and I have an opinion about this. If by chance Trump loses again, and there's any question marks on why Trump loses this time, what do you guys think is going to be the outcome of our country?
Not good.
I'd be honest.
Not good.
Well, I'll go first then. I'll be honest with you, and I know this is very extreme, and I try not to be an extreme person. I truly think that our country, there's going to be some uproar. Mm-hmm. I think you're on the verge of a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
I think
totally agree.
I think you're going to have your people that, quote unquote, the silent majority that are professional people that, they keep their mouth shut because they have to keep their mouth shut because they have jobs to stand. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you get fired nowadays for voicing the wrong opinion. Your people that are in your backwoods that are quote unquote the people that you don't want to fuck with that have a lot of artillery and stuff like that. And I'm not wishing any of this.
No.
But I'll be honest with you.
I agree.
I'm worried first and foremost if she is our president, number one.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm even more worried that if we lose, that what's going to transpire. So I just want to hear your guys' opinion.
No, I'm going to be nice and cozy at 138 Clearview Avenue because I'm not going to go many places because I agree 100%. I'm serious. If it happens, I'm probably going to go up to the new shooting range up there and learn how to shoot a gun.
Probably a good
idea. I'm not kidding either. Because it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, I often think about that too, because if the same things happen in this election that were in the last election, and some of those people they want to tell you that was fair and by the books, which is. You don't even have to be that smart to understand that it wasn't. But because it's eventually isn't going to reach a tipping point where finally we're going to revolt or whatever and say, no, this our country can't do this. This is bullshit. So I hope it doesn't happen. But I just.
Does it really worry you guys? There's a lot of things that are going to go wrong if she gets in. But the biggest thing for me is the safety of our country.
Yeah.
I think we're in big trouble, not only from the border crossing, but from other countries. They're going to see us as weak. And I think that's going to – that to me is the biggest – gas prices, all that, food prices,
yeah, but safety
all that.
First. You're right.
You know, I worry about the gas. Well, yeah. Do I want gas prices come to food prices? Yeah, all but that.
At least we're alive.
Like, yeah, but I really see a major problem with the border and with other countries. I do because I don't think she's going to be strong enough to flex her muscles.
And do you think those world leaders, other people she's dealing with, are going to take her seriously?
No.
They didn't take Biden serious either. Now we're getting someone that was involved in the administration, was noted as the border czar, whatever you want to call her. She was clipped to Border Patrol across her entire 4 years she's been the vice president. They paired her. That was her thing. Border, and Kamala. They put her with that all the time. Every article you saw, she was in charge of it. She's running point. She's doing this. And she's failed at it because I just don't think they care. They don't realize what's going on. And I don't know if it's just they're not getting the intelligence. I can't imagine that, although we had a failure of that many times in the country. You would think that they're briefing them and saying, you don't realize how many dangerous people are coming in here. But you can't offend anybody. It's just like what we're going back to talking about college sports. You're not allowed to offend anybody. You can't upset anybody. You're not allowed to stop these people. If you stop people of a certain nationality, then you're a bigot or you hate them. There's no accountability there, and there's not going to be. And Jeff, I totally agree with you. I've said that many times to people in conversation. I really think there'll be a civil war here very, very soon. I'm actually surprised it didn't happen the last time. But now, since there's been evidence to prove that Trump won a couple of these states that he got taken away from him, and there's so many variables that go into this with the vote counting machines that were set up to rig this thing against him, and it's come out. I mean, and these Republican governors didn't uphold their duty in their states, and they let people get away with it. If it happens again, we'll see what these people are made of, because the voting polling stations, I would be very concerned about working at those this time.
I would agree.
I would want to have almost armed militia there to protect, because there's going to be some things going on there from both sides. Because the Republican side, the Trump people, they're not going to stand for what happened the last time, where I go to sleep and he's up 2.5 million votes, and the next day, now he's lost by 1.3 million in Pennsylvania or whatever. It's unthinkable. They got dead people voting. All the different areas we could go, we could talk about it for hours, but there's definitely concerns there, and I think you'll see states secede from the union if it happens again. I really do.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I think you'll see Texas and Florida. I think they'll either become their own countries, or they'll fight for the South, and the South will split apart again, and it won't be a racial thing this time. It's going to be all about just the well-being and the safety of the country. Mm-hmm. And who could blame them? I mean, the left coast is lost cause, and then, you know, the Midwest has, you know, Illinois is a problem, and then you go up into the Northeast, but that's really it. I mean, every other part is red. It's all people like us. And I mean, the war is going to last a couple of days, though, because it'll be the gun people are on one side. You know who they are, and that won't last very long. So that'll be the good part about it. But it's going to be sad to see.
Well, and I agree with that. And I tell you what, if these woke fucks think that it's bad now, they have no fucking clue what's about to come their way if this fucking goes the wrong direction.
They want to see insurrection. No fucking clue. How about they accuse January 6th of being an insurrection? They have no clue what that would really turn out like. Yeah. I mean, it's going to get real ugly, but it'll be over pretty fast. But you don't want to ever see that happen.
No, not even close.
Because the other viewpoint shouldn't be squashed so badly that they're executed. Yeah. But I don't know. But for the safety, I mean, the migrants that are pouring across, the ties to the terrorist groups, of these people... It has got to be alarming, and it's going to start coming to our town here. It's not far from it, because Pittsburgh is starting to get overrun, and you're seeing the eastern panhandle of West Virginia is being overrun with illegals. I mean, they're coming here soon. It's only a matter of time, and then we're worried about our well-being and our family.
Yeah.
But, Matt, just what you talked about earlier about when we were talking about college football and those decision makers and the people that really don't sit in the stands, you know, that set the beer. It's just like these politicians. So if let all the people in.
They got the armed guards.
They got
and stuff,
their gated houses, and they got all kinds of security, so it doesn't affect them.
Right.
So they don't – you think they give a fuck about us? They don't.
No, not even.
They're never protected. Have. They'll be fine. Yep. And as long as they can get those illegal votes. And in fact, I mentioned to Matt when we were walking out here after the radio, I think it's this weekend or it's coming up that Kamala's having a rally out in Arizona, and it's RSVP only, and they sent out all these emails. In order to attend, it's only by RSVP, but in order to attend, you have to produce a
government matching ID to attend this. Otherwise, you're not allowed in.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
That bitch is said that that was racist.
Yeah,
and you couldn't do
that. You're discriminating against minorities by asking them to show up.
So you don't have to. You don't have to produce that to cross the border or to vote, but to go to her rally, you got to have an ID, which is just when the rules benefit them or when they twist it that you know it'll help them out, but.
But as a human being, can you imagine being that two-sided?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you can sit up in front of a podium and speak to millions of fucking people and give your fucking schmeal that it's racist and it's illegal, you shouldn't have to do that. But then you are such contradicting that because, like you said, it's in your backyard.
Yep.
That, I mean, I could not... Let's be honest. We all have talked out of both sides of our mouths before. We've all had those problems.
Yeah, sometimes it happens naturally.
It does happen naturally. Sometimes a little wishy-washy, or maybe even growth as an individual that you see something a couple years ago.
And you adjust to it.
See a different lens. So we're all guilty of that. But that's a hardcore fucking talking out of both sides of your mouth, is it not?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's tough, man.
And you know what makes it worse, Jeff, is you have a mouthpiece in the media now, because the media is 99% liberal, and they're gonna carry the water for her. I mean, you see the contradicting statement. She already stole Trump's tax.
I've seen that.
No taxes on tips. Yeah. And then CNN and these CBS is passing off, oh, it was her idea. Like, they genuinely don't care. And those people, again, leadership, again, failing the American people beyond imagination.
Jeff, right now, if you were... to bet, if you had $1,000 and you had to bet on who's going to win, who would you bet?
A couple weeks ago, I'd have told you it'd have been a landslide Trump. Now I'm starting to go the other way. I'm truly concerned.
Oh,
I am too.
It is absolutely changed.
It opened. He opened a pretty good favorite on offshore places, Europe and in the Caribbean, and now it's neck and neck. He's -120. She's +$1. So it's dead even. Now I will say that was the same situation. Clinton was a huge favorite against him. So maybe that works in the favor. Maybe they get complacent. I don't know about that. But it's basically going to boil down to a handful of states. Like, that's our state has nothing to do with
nothing.
It. But Pennsylvania and Ohio are going to. He's got Vance now, so you figure he should be able to win Ohio. If he doesn't, then that was a huge mistake having him on your ticket. Pennsylvania, obviously. Wisconsin's in play. Michigan, he'll lose Michigan. He'll lose Minnesota. And then you got to go out west. You got Arizona. You got Nevada. Those states, there was funny business going on, especially in Arizona last year or 4 years ago. I mean, he's got to start picking some of these states off. Florida should go Trump. So that gives him a chance. If he gets Florida and Ohio, he's got, but I just worry. It's just, there's so much at stake. Virginia, now North Carolina, they're saying is in play. That's a problem. If he loses North Carolina, I don't think he can win, but he's going to have to take some states, and you're going to have to see governors, these Republican governors in some of these states, they're really going to have to answer, because that's who's going to get stormed after first before they make it to taking over Washington. They're going to these governors' places, and they're going to take them right out of there and shoot them because they didn't protect the integrity of the election. And hopefully that doesn't happen. But.
Well, and we talk, the one guy that concerns me over the whole thing is your dad.
Yeah. If Trump loses, he's not in a good state right now. He's very worried about this.
Chris, could you imagine if Trump loses? I don't know what his dad is just staunch. I mean, you can't even.
And he follows politics closely. Oh, so,
very closely.
Yeah, this is all he follows. No, not, I mean, sadly, it's pretty much
just golf. The Pirates and golf.
Yeah. No, he's probably stopped watching the Pirates religiously.
Yeah, he kind of has. And I wish he would watch the Pirates, because at least he could get mad and forget about it. Now, this stuff sticks with you forever.
Well, Mark, I to answer your question on that, I don't even think it's a matter of winning or losing. Whatever happens, he won't be the president. Whether it's just
think he gets shot again?
Or just the cheating, they'll steal with I would be shocked if he actually just won the election, outright won it. I'd be elated.
So you think the best bet of the whole thing, there will be controversy for weeks and months to come after, no matter what happens?
I think so.
I hope not, because I felt very good about it, not just because he got shot. I hated when people said all the election's over. That bothered me, because I did not think so when he got shot, and I didn't know who he was running against. Obviously, it would have worked out better if Biden was still there.
I would agree.
But, you know, for the country's sake, it doesn't really make a difference if it's Biden or Kamala Harris. I mean, people got to realize what they're doing here. They can't just vote for someone because she's a woman or she's a minority. That's just ridiculous. If you think like that, then you're kind of a bigot. You're the one that's without the bigot. And it's a concern to us at every level of what this is going to be, down to our local elections. I mean, it's just a matter of time. If it starts getting worse and worse and worse, and more things are acceptable, and there we go. We're having to, coaches having to have a gun on by his nightstand now.
I'm going to get
when
one.
He never would have needed one in the past. No,
I never even crossed my mind.
The only thing I can say, maybe, I'm hopeful. There's a lot of minority communities that are waking up and getting on the Trump train.
I would agree.
So if he could somehow pull out just a slight increase in the minority communities in, say, Pennsylvania or Wisconsin, like Milwaukee area, and then he might have a shot, or even Northern Virginia. And he did really good in New York. I don't know if he could do it. I mean, people say that's in play. I don't believe it. But if he can find a state with a big city, because that's what it comes down to. It comes down to those big cities in the states. You know, how you're going to get your electoral votes is not going to be people in the rural communities. It's going to be all in the big cities. So if he could steal a few of those just because he's went and he's tried to engage with the black community, mm-hmm. which, and those people have raved about him. There's like, Biden's never come here. Obama never even came to us. So, I mean, the guy's trying, and that's what bothers me. He's like, everyone hates him. And it's like, he's a blowhard asshole. I know that, but he cares, man. He cares. You can just hear him talk. You all these stories about some of the stuff that he's done to help people. It is unimaginable. Better than I even expected. People broke down on the side of the highway. A guy helped him one time change a flat tire. He paid for his kid's college. I mean, he's not a bad guy. I know he's a blowhard. He's an embellisher. He stretches the truth beyond belief. But I think he really cares, and it's just sick to see people not realize that that you can't just vote for him because you don't like him. You got to vote. I mean, it wouldn't even matter if I liked Kamala Harris. I couldn't feel comfortable about her running the country.
Yeah, and it's not. If I was going to say, it's not because she's a female.
No, that's nothing not to at all. Because
there have been a lot of females in all walks of life, all businesses that are very, very good.
Some of the best.
Very
fucking
strong.
A,
very.
Doubt.
I mean, we've had them in education. We've had terrific principals at our schools. Great teachers. Just so yeah. It's nothing to do with female or male. It's just,
wouldn't you feel proud to vote for a woman if met the qualities that you thought were important? And that's I look forward to that time.
And
it's not here yet.
No. Well, I agree with everything you said about Trump, but I just feel, me personally, that he is going to do what's best for us, where those other people aren't.
No.
They just do what's best for
their
party.
Why would he do this, Chris? He has no reason to want to be in this.
Fuck no.
He's ruined his life. It's almost got him killed.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I just think I'm fearful, I guess, to summarize. Yeah, I'm truly
It's
going to
be some tense times, guys.
It is, and I'll be honest with you, we've never really lived it. I mean, I've never lived anything like this, and I just think at the end of the day, there's going to be some uproar, and it's not going to be good
I'm
going to
be
us.
Nervous, like, just because of,
And actually, ironically, when Biden got elected, I don't have a gun. I went and bought a gun right after election, bought a gun case. I've still never even fucking shot the gun. Yeah. If you want to know,
I bought two guns. I haven't shot them. I ain't mad at you.
But honestly, I went and got one.
The first shot will go in some guy's chest.
Well, that new range coming up, I see it's just going to be unbelievable.
Yeah. And so when I even went to buy it.
Lessons and.
Yeah, I'd be honest, I'm on board with that.
Oh, absolutely.
We might have to start a Pine Room gun club.
Oh, jeez.
Not
drinking. We drink after. We go shoot.
Woohoo! Go Irish!
I want to see Champ with a gun. He's got to stay.
I'm not next to him. I'm not saying that.
I want to see Champ try to shoot an apple off somebody's head.
Oh, good gracious.
Keep this going real quick, the illegal immigrants, just very quickly about
this. Oh, yeah, let's go.
Well, at the end of the day, you said something about the powers that be in college sports and how they sit in a boardroom and they think that this is going to be a great idea and there's no hiccups. So these fucking illegal – I mean, I feel like it's daily now that we're hearing these illegal immigrants are either beating up people, fucking raping them, whatever the case might be. It's truly on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, every day.
But also on a daily basis, you see where they get released.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. So back to your point on these fucking college fucking presidents sitting in a room and thinking it's a good idea. How in the fuck can these people look them people in the eyes and release these people when they're raping our own people, beating them up? Like, to me, I tell you what, guys, I don't know what has changed in our world. I wish I was smart enough to put a thumb on it.
Yeah.
But I just cannot believe that, you know, you go do these fucking horrible crimes. And here's the deal. You and I do that.
Oh.
Fuck, man. I mean.
You ain't getting out.
There is no fucking getting bail. There's none of that shit.
Jeff, let me. I screenshotted this because I want to talk about it on the radio and we never got to it. But listen to this. Okay. There's two two offenders here. One of them's an illegal guy. The other guy is this actually happened in Europe, but it was the same principle would apply. This actually, if you saw now, the UK is basically banned free speech now. You're not even allowed to comment on anything negative on social media. You can now be arrested there.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
So that's a major problem, and that's where we're headed next. But listen to this. So the guy on the left, who's the guy on the left there, you see him. We can show him in the camera there. There we go. Okay, so he killed a 14-year-old British boy with a machete. He was sent to prison in March, and he is being released in 6 months. The guy on the right commented on Facebook during the riots and has been sentenced to 20 years in prison.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's where we're heading. God. That's where we're heading, though. Jeff's exactly right. You're rape, murder, sometimes all the above. Theft, rape, murder, everything. Leave him to die on the street. And they're getting a slap on the wrist, and they're getting put up at a penthouse hotel. Yeah. And now I saw there's a story that's breaking now that some of the news outlets are reporting, some of the more credible ones, about now VA resources, veteran assistant resources, are now being used to house these illegals and to give them money. And I saw another story of they have these debit cards now they're getting it. And the cashier would run the thing through. The balance is like $9,000 they're giving these illegals. These people have no rights. It makes me sick. The only people that have rights are our citizens in our country. I'm not saying they should be shot on arrival, but we're getting pretty close to that, if you ask me. And you not know, to mention what they're involved with.
Matt, you know who we need? Dexter.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, I tell you, you're exactly right about that.
He wouldn't have enough time, though.
He wouldn't.
He wouldn't know where to put them.
Where could he begin?
Because they found all the ones he threw in the ocean.
Yeah, where could he begin? There's more people. Honestly, I'm
vigilantes.
A proponent of that. And I do Carlson. Think it keeps people safe.
It's sad.
Troubling times, guys. It's really only getting worse. And when people don't understand. It's nice to like block all that out, but it is real. It's happening. Oh. It's coming to us. We don't have a choice. Like we gotta get people involved and aware, because there's a lot of people that aren't. And
I still feel to this point safe in this town.
Relatively safe. I agree.
But like you said, it's kind of fun. And I know my buddy Tony that he sees it over in Columbus. You talked about Pittsburgh. That's not far from us.
No, it's not.
And they're, you know, and
they're going to start looking for territory in other places that are unclaimed, and they're going to be coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Well, we'll end on a easy note. How's that sound? So, I thought this was priceless, but I still want to hear your guys'. So I don't know. Are you guys fans of the Little League World Series?
I can't stand it.
I used to like it, Jeff. When it was the international game and the American game, and then it was back in the old days. ABC, there was like two games
they
on TV.
The final,
yeah, and right? I liked that. I can't do it. ESPN makes me sick about it. They've ruined ESPN. The parents have ruined it for me.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
Oh wow, I thought I was going to differ, but it's not even really about Little League World Series. I just thought this was absolutely priceless. So a kid from Webb City, Missouri. You know, they usually introduce and they ask them funky questions, and they asked this why I didn't get the kid's name. They asked him favorite actor or actress. And his favorite actress, and I had to look her up, was Alexis Texas.
I can imagine.
Wonder what field she's in.
She's a very attractive 25-year-old young lady that likes to be in front of a camera.
Did he say it on national TV?
It was underneath his marquee when he was up to bat.
Well, they put it up there?
And they put it up there?
Because I'll be honest, probably most people wouldn't know.
No, they probably wouldn't.
They probably
even
had
check
no
it.
Idea. So my question
Hey, boy,
to you,
oh boy.
First and foremost, I thought it was fucking hilarious. But here's the deal. As parents.
Did you go look her up, though?
I sure did, because I didn't know who Alexis
was. Okay, okay.
That's very attractive. Just likes to be in front of a camera. She needs to make a living, fellas.
Right,
come on.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Right.
My question to you guys, and those kids are 12, correct?
Yes.
Would you be bummed at your kid?
I know what your answer is.
I don't really think. I mean, I'd rather them mention her than a guy in that same
that's
industry.
That
would be a little concerning to me. But that's also kind of similar to when Jarrett was putting down his favorite movie, his
like
Southern Comfort
in kindergarten.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
So, yeah, but hey, yeah.
Yeah, Jeff.
I know what your answer is.
Well, here's the deal. I'm 50-50. I probably would have throw punched me, but then there'd be a piece of me. They'd be like.
But
well,
you think the kid
Mama
was,
Bear would not be happy.
Oh,
do you think that the kid's knowingly doing it to get a rise out of people? Like he knew, obviously.
It absolutely.
Because, I mean, even at 12 years old, you may be aware of her, but how much were you subjected to her? That could be a more concerning thing for the parent.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Now, Jeff, I think it's led to just like with college sports. Now, these kids, now there's so much exposure of it now. Like, they start to hot dog it now. They do what the pro guys do with the bat flips and
the homer.
Yeah, and just and all the recognition they get, I think it overblows. And then I don't like it. I
heard
turned.
A guy on TV said a child should never peak in life at 12.
No, absolutely not.
And that's think a really good that point. That's it's all downhill after
it
that.
They
can never live up to that.
I would love to follow the careers of those kids that have played in that World Series.
The way it is now, not many of them.
But, you know, and kids at that age, they're so immature. They're not physically. Like, and they're being put on TV.
Absolutely.
What's that do for their mindset?
Ego.
And like, and that just boosts their ego. And like, you're 12.
Kid makes a blunder. I mean, he's vilified. They can bet on this stuff offshore. Like, not in the United States, but people bet on that stuff. It's scary enough the way people act in our country. I think the camera shut down.
I think our camera.
I think yours over there broke.
I think our battery broke, so.
Yeah.
I guess that's a good way to wrap it up. But if you haven't looked up Alexis Texas, but here's the deal. For Mr. Mark Delbrick, Mr. Chris Pavlik, Mr. Matt Watson, for episode 121, thanks for joining us in the Pod Room Studios. Till next time, party people, peace out.
Yes. Later.
Good night.